Romans chapter 1, verse 20. We started in this verse for the last couple weeks. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And for the last couple weeks, I've gone through some of the things that you can gain through creation. And the first week, especially, I looked at creation. We went back to Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning, God." And from creation, I made some parallels from creation. And I put a few points up on the board, 7 of them to be exact. And one of the points was question, point number 6 specifically. And last week. And during the week, I sent an email to some of the elders asking for some help or in helping, because I don't believe Chris was satisfied with the answer that was given. So I sent an email and asking for some help and, you know, to accumulate some understanding in this. And from the responses I got, I've been told that this week I have to reteach that. I guess no verses were given. And so I'm going to take this opportunity this time to go over the points of creation that I gave, and slow concerning, and but I'm going to do it anyway. So it's going to set the lesson back a week, but I'm sure I'll get an extra couple weeks to pick up where I want to go. So let's go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start there. Why don't we start in verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now, what is heaven revealing in that verse? The wrath of God. We'll get back to that later. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, who have truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, by things that are made, and even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. During the week, I sent an email out also stating that, is there a way for a man who has never heard the gospel to become saved? I mean, how many of you guys have witnessed to people and have heard that statement? Well, what do you do about the guy in the jungles of Africa who's never heard the Bible? And they use that like, well, what kind of God is going to damn a guy who never had the opportunity to believe in the scriptures? And I sent that email out looking for some answers and help that we're going to get to. We'll get to that a little bit later. But the invisible things of him from creation of the world, this verse, that Paul writes, tells us there are things we can learn from creation. I pointed out 2 of them. It's eternal power and Godhead. Okay? Do you know from this verse that I can teach a myriad of other things? This verse tells me that there are invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Even his eternal power and Godhead. That verse tells me that verse does not teach that I can only know he's eternal and that there's a God. That verse teaches me there are a lot of invisible things about God I can learn. If I say, show me love, put it on the table, can you? No, love is an attribute you can't see. If I say, show me righteousness, that's an invisible thing. Can you see righteousness? No. If I say, show me justice, put it on the table. You can't see that. This verse teaches for the invisible things of him. Let's pull up the verse. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God, there are a lot of things that can be known of God, is manifested in them. How are these things known of God? For God has showed it unto them. How did he show it unto them? We're going to go into what these things are. For the invisible things of heaven, the creation of the world, are clearly seen. verse 19 tells me there's a lot of things that can be known of God, that God has manifested it to them, and that they should be clearly seen. So creation does teach a lot. And as we get into this and we go over what we went over 2 weeks ago, I hope we're all in agreement with the wonderful things that creation teaches. And the reason he does all this, the reason God manifested himself through creation, was so that God could write this, so that they are without excuse. There will be nobody who will be able to stand before the judgment throne of God and say, "I didn't know." There will be nobody who will be able to stand there and say, "I never heard the mystery, you can't damn me." There will be nobody who can stand before the throne and say, "I never heard about Jesus and the cross." Because God's going to say, "No, I had a witness out there, and even though you didn't hear the scriptures, there was a witness testifying. And that witness is creation." And we're going to go through that now. Go to Job chapter 12, verse 7. Job chapter 12, verse 7. Now, I know I went through these verses a couple weeks ago. We're going to go through them again. And Job chapter 12, verse 7. "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the earth, and they shall teach thee. Speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fish of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?" You know where we can learn from? Creation. The fish, the beasts, the fowls, the earth. They all speak these. Go to Psalms 19. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Now, I went over this a couple weeks ago, and this verse I did give. And this verse teaches, who's talking here? The day utters speech, and the night uttereth knowledge. Okay? And there is no, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, creation speaking. It is voicing something. It is explaining something about knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't it fascinating? People say, God designed creation so that it's multilingual. It can speak in any language. There's no language God's creation can't communicate with. And there's no person that has not heard. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It's fascinating. God has designed his creation in such a way that even if you've never heard about God, something is talking to you. And they're speaking something. Whose words is creation speaking? Well, are they speaking my words? No. Are they speaking their own words? Did creation just decide to say stuff? No. Whose words are they speaking? They're speaking God's word, aren't they? Who taught creation what to speak? Who told it what to speak? What is the speech they're using? They're speaking God's word. Now, as we go through this, I don't want you to get the impression that I don't think you need your scriptures. That was not the gist of my message. The gist of the message was just to show you that Paul
writes this so that he can show us there's no excuse for anybody. So you can hear God's word from where? Creation. Isn't that fascinating? I think, and we're going to see what it speaks. He doesn't just, I mean, you can see it, hear it. God says he can. He says, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Incredible. Go to, so, I went over that. And I hope you understand. In creation now, looks like I had a marker there for my grace, but you can see creation now is speaking. And it's speaking God's words. So what does it say? One of the points, I went through a whole series of scientific stuff to show that there is a God. Okay? And because my first point that I said, that creation was speaking, was that there is a creator. Okay? Now, I have to show proof for that from the scriptures. Okay? Because I tried to show you that if you just listen to creation, you can figure out there's a creator. And that's true. You don't need the scriptures to know there's a creator. I just read a verse in Psalm 19 that tells you that creation is speaking. Now, I took us through I thought, interesting ways of thinking about the universe. Now, man tried to get around the creator by thinking that creation was just static and always here. If you read your history books, you'll know that theory carried much weight all the way up to the early 1900s. Okay? That's why you read your history books. But then you learn that when men started to look at the sky, and they realized that the universe is not static, but that it's expanding, it proved to them that there had to be a beginning. And I keep reading man after man after man, scientist after scientist, that are befuddled by that premise. Because you know what? They know there is a God. Because if there was a beginning, who started it? And we went through and we called that the point of what? Singularity. Remember that phrase. It's a great phrase to use if you ever talk to a physics teacher or a philosopher. They understand that phrase. What's the point of singularity? They don't want to talk about it because that's the point where everything started. I told you about the ride went on at Disneyland. You get on the ride and they start at 1/1,000,000,000th of a second after the universe comes into existence. Well, that's 1/1,000,000,000th of a second too late. They needed to go back up 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. But they don't. Because when they do, they are pointed out there's a creator. Now I have to give a verse for that. That creator is witness from creation. Now I know we read Genesis 1:1. Let me go back to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. Now, there's a verse for that. But, you know, creation is shouting this out. 24 hours a day, there's a creator. You can't get around it. But Genesis 1:1 tells me, there's a creator. That point is clear. I hope so. It should be. There's not a person around who's going to stand before God and say, I didn't even know you existed. I remember as a kid growing up watching the Carl Sagan or whatever his name was, that old astronomer guy. Was it Sagan? And watching his theory on how the universe was made. And he didn't believe in a God. He believed in something he called maybe a cosmos. But he's not going to stand before God and say, I didn't know, because I know he knows. He can't get around it. these things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know what? God made me. And God tells me I can't do these things. I don't care what your intelligence level is. You can understand this by creation. Point number two I went over in regards to this understanding of let's just stay on creator for a second. The reason people don't want to admit there's a creator is it brings up a slew of other questions. If there is a creator, why did he create? What purpose? Am I held accountable to my creator? See, that's the big one. And they don't want a creator because then they're not held accountable to anybody. But the fact that there's a creator now creates the dilemma for people who don't believe the creator. Who are they accountable to them? Point number one, and I think I probably used the word truths. These are truths found in creation. Can't get around it. And so there's point number two over was he's all powerful and wise. All powerful and wise. You look at creation and the vastness of it. Could a wimpy deity have created that? You look at creation and you see how the sun and how all the planets move in our alignment with one another. You look at the periodic table and you look at the elements. You change any of that stuff, life can't exist. If the sun were a few degrees either way, if it was a little hotter, if it was a little closer, if it was a little further, you know what? Life as we know it couldn't exist. It was made with such precision and such a design. And this is another thing scientists keep bumping into that they can't get around is the design of creation. The hydrogen atom. You have, or take away one less photon, one less neutron, you change the electromagnetic negativity of the electron, everything collapses. From the smallest atom to the largest planet, they're perfectly aligned and perfectly made so that life can exist. Incredible. Such detail. Only a wise creator could have made what we live in. To say otherwise would be a fool. To say, well, yeah, I know everything works, but, he can't be that wise. Only a fool would say that. At this point, that he's all-powerful and wise, that you can learn from creation, just looking at it. Without the scriptures. Because day unto day, night unto night, are speaking God's word. Psalms 104. Verse 24. Lord, how manifold are thy works? In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. David comes up and he says, in wisdom you've made everything. This verse in Romans tells me I can see his eternal power in creation. Now, you know what? I'm glad God wrote some verses down that I can read them, but I should be able to learn this from my own experiences as a made person by him. This is what we're doing. We're laying from the groundwork, so when we conclude this, you'll see how a person without the scriptures living in the jungles of Africa, or let's say you're an 18-year-old boy living in Mogadishu. Now, Mogadishu in Somalia is all Islamic. You cannot be a Christian there. You cannot own a Bible there. Now, how does a 19-year-old boy get saved? How did everybody likes to talk about the Aboriginal Indians. Everybody talks about them. They must be famous or something. They can't be hiding in the jungles anymore. So let's take the 19-year-old boy in Mogadishu. Alright? How does he get saved? Is there a witness to him outside of the scriptures? I thank the Lord I grew up in a family where I had the scriptures that were clearly taught. But now let's say you don't. How can God condemn that 19-year-old boy if he gets shot tomorrow by a rebel faction and send him to hell? We're going to see, there's a, God's going to call it a witness in the heaven. Because he expects, he knows these things can be clearly seen, being understood. There's enough intelligence to understand these things. So, we look at the point number two is easy. He's all powerful and all wise. That's a logical conclusion to draw from creation. Point number three we went over. Point number three, that God is loving and personal. Okay? Can he pass from creation? Well, yes, he can. Look at the handiwork of God and how everything is designed to sustain your life. Like I said before, if anything were to be changed, you couldn't exist. The whole purpose of the universe, and when you look out about it, is for us. That's fascinating. That the reason the sun gives is right there and gives just enough heat is so we can live. In order for all that, God must be personal. And he must love his creation enough that he has taken the time to create everything to sustain life. Go to let's go back to Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Do you know what that means? You can look in the firmament, you can see where God's fingers worked to put everything together for us. That's how special we are. He moved and created for us. Go to Psalms 104. Psalms 104. I remember when we taught this, I told everybody to go like this with your fingers. Remember? And because we're going to be using them a lot, because we're going to be flipping through the scriptures. Psalms 104, verse 13. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Causes the grass to grow for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Why did that make it the heart of man? And put the face shine in the bread which strengtheneth man's heart. You look at the earth. It's designed, it feeds us. It produces grain and the food that we need to exist. Only a loving and a personal God would do such a thing. We keep reading. Verse 6, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he had planted, where the birds make houses for the stork, the fruit trees are her house. The hills are for a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for season, the sun knoweth his going down. I mean, thou makest darkness and in his night, wherein all the beasts in the forest do creep. Their young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves there, they lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work, and to his labor unto evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. He made this place so that the lion can find food, so that the raven has a place to live, so that the fish have a place to swim. I mean, it's so personal, and so kind and loving that he did.
Go to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Verse 16. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, God opened up his hand in creation. And he's giving his creation for us to enjoy. He's giving rain. He's giving that the earth grows cool. He gives us the earth breathe. I mean, you can see his hand open. Didn't David describe the firmament so that what? The handiwork of God. He opens it up. Go to Psalms 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing unto the harp with our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds and prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow unto the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food and his young ravens which cry. I mean, he loves his creation. He designed it in such a way so that we can sustain ourselves in this, causing it to rain and to grow the food that we need for life. Go to Psalms 139. Verse 14. I will praise thee. We talked about this. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David looked at his body, and he said, wow! Look what I can do! I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I remember when Chris would talk about surgeries and they would cut people open and he said they'd stitch them back together and they'd come back in 3 weeks and they'd be healed. They don't really know what happens. And that's a miracle. It says that we have a body that God has fearfully and wonderfully made, and when I get a cut, I don't have to be thinking in my head, okay, I gotta send some white blood cells there. Now I gotta send some plasma blood cells to start the clotting process. Now, once I get it clotted, I got to remove that clot through a chemical process or however it's done so it doesn't run in my vein and kill me when it gets to my heart. No. God made my body so it can do all these things. I mean, you should look at yourself and say, wow, look at this. We went over some of those things. It's awesome. He had to be, you just look at yourself, he to give you that body, you couldn't buy it. People rock car, you go try buying a body. You can't. Right? People try, you get the workout, chest and abdomen implants, and leg implants, and hip implants and everything, give yourself a better body. But I mean, it's awesome. Be thankful for the body you have. Look at it. You ever just sit there in your bed and open up and think about your body? Wow. I mean, seriously. You sit there and you say, I just ate that wonderful piece of steak and that tasted so good. Wow. God gave me a body that can experience the taste or the smells of this one. These all point to a fact that God is what? Loving and personal. Let's go over to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. Verse 17. Or when we'll start in verse 14. Which one? When Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying, saying, sirs, why do you need these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and we turn to you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Now this is Paul speaking, which hath made heaven and earth and sea, all things that are therein. Paul points to creation with these people. He says, look at the creation. Who? in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness.
God left a witness to the nations that didn't want to have anything to do with God. And what was that witness?
Verse 17, nevertheless, he left himself, not himself, without witness, in that he did good. God's witness was that he did good because he gave us rain from heaven, the fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness.
You know what Paul called creation? Paul calls creation a witness. God left himself a witness. So what do witnesses do? Have you ever been on trial? I'm not on trial.
But, I mean, you ever been to a court, you've seen a, you know, whatever, they got the judge, and they call witnesses. And witnesses come in, and they do what? Testify.
Doesn't that harmonize with Psalms 19? That creation in a day unto day speaketh. Night unto night giveth knowledge. Isn't that fascinating?
You want to know how the poor soul of Mogadishu has never heard the scriptures, never heard the preaching of the cross to find salvation?
Because there is a witness speaking to them.
And that witness is creation, and it has spoken, you're the creator, he's all-powerful and wise, and that God is loving and personal. That's what creation is testifying to. Oh, there's more that creation is testifying to. But it's fascinating that God has designed it in such a way, you can't escape. You're without excuse. You won't be able to stand before God and say, you know, I never heard the preaching of the cross. Now, I'm not saying that when you hear it, you can say no to it and look to creation, because as more light's given, God holds you accountable to that. And when you hear the preaching of the cross, you know what you're going to be held accountable to? The preaching of the cross. But if you've never heard it, there's another witness out there testifying to some things. And Scripture's quite clear on it. And it doesn't even have to be, because God says these things are clearly seen by things that are made. You just breathing today is witness to the fact that you understand. Point four. Creator is just. Is just. And I said, yeah, the creator is just and righteous.
Okay.
Creator is just and righteous. Did creation testify to that? Oh, yes, it does. Turn to Psalms 50. Psalms chapter 50. Verse 6. In the heavens shall declare his right. God is judge.
What are the heavens declaring?
His righteousness. That God is judge. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 97. Psalms 97. Verse 6. Heavens declare his, what? Righteousness. And all people see his glory.
You see, we could be, this list of seven could be 50, could be 100. Because that which may be known of God can be clearly seen in his creation.
Now, I just put seven on the board.
We're going to get the other.
But it could have well been 100. Because there's a lot to know about God. This verse just told me he's righteous and you can see his glory. Fascinating.
the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from where? Heaven. Doesn't say the scriptures, although it's there too. But this verse tells me God's wrath is revealed from. You know what? Point would raise. Well, I look around and I see nothing but death and destruction in creation. How can I tell from that there's a just God? I look around and I see poor people living in refugee camps. And I see people who are starving. How can I draw from that these points? I'm sorry, that's not an excuse. What you're seeing is the wrath of God being poured out and declared by the heavens on a creation that has rejected God. And we're going to get to that point. What you're seeing is the effects of the wrath of God redeeming man unto himself. Don't use that as an excuse. You know what? You stand before the judgment of God Almighty and you try and say, Lord, your creation was so messed up. How do you expect me to know you exist from that? You know, David wrote all those songs we just read. You know when he wrote those? After the fall. After Adam sinned. These things are still true. These things, the heavens still testify no matter how much sin is in the world. The heavens, the witness that God left still testifies. It testifies of his wonderfulness, and it also testifies of a judgment and a wrath. So there's no excuse. I don't care how bad your life is. These things are still true. My wife was talking with someone about a month ago, maybe a month and a half or even 2 months ago, and this lady was pouring out some problems and had gone through some great difficulties and issues. And my wife tells me, you know what? When you see problems and death in life, you know what? That should show you your need of a Savior. And she was able to use that to help instruct her on her need of a Savior. You know, creation, go to Romans chapter 8. We know this verse. 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Creation also groans. It gives testimony to the fact that there's a wrath being poured out from heaven. And you can use that testimony when you talk with your neighbor, and you can say, just the fact that your aunt, whatever, died, to teach you your need of a Savior. Just the fact of that. You can learn that from creation. You learn that he's just right. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And you read all the way down to this passage, you get to verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, people know God's going to judge them, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same but have pleasure in them, that people know the judgment of God. Because it's been revealed by God and his creation. This witness that God has left us testifies that there's a creator. It testifies that that creator is all-powerful and all-wise. It testifies that God is loving and personal. It testifies that God is just and righteous. The heavens declare these things. The handiwork shows it. These things are understood. They're clearly seen by things that are made. So the fact that there's evil in the world doesn't diminish the witness that creation exists. It exemplifies it. Pointing your need for a saint. That's what it's pointing to. And point five. What did I write for that? We fall short, I think. We fall short of Creator. The Creator's standards, or however you want to. We fall short. We're sinners. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Is there a witness that you're a sinner in creation? Oh, yes, there is. There is a witness. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, and what is the law? The law is the scriptures. So there's Gentiles who don't have the scriptures. Do by nature the things contained in the law. God is through nature wrote something. These having not the law, not the law, are law to themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. You know, God took such great care when He made you that He wrote something in your heart. He wrote the law. And when you violate that law, you know you're violating God. Your conscience is a witness to that. And I made the statement, you don't have to teach your kids right or wrong. Somebody questions that, are you saying I don't have to teach my kids right or wrong? The point I was making was that I don't have to teach my kids it's wrong to steal. They know it. It's in their hearts. Now, I'm not saying you just have a baby and don't ever talk to your kid anymore. That's not what I'm teaching. I'm teaching from creation that on the heart of every man, they know when they violate the law. How wonderful it is. And we know we fall short. There's no one that can look in their heart and say, I've been pure my whole life. It's the heart. Wages has been. The work of the law. And what is the work of the law? Prove your sin. That works. Your heart. Proving you're a sinner. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's awesome. What we're doing here is we're discovering how great of a creator we have. Who took such care in us to leave us all these things that are clearly seen. So, knowing there's a creator. Knowing He's all-purposeful, all-powerful and wise. Knowing God is loving and personal. Knowing just and righteous. Knowing we fall short of that creator. Point six. I was going to talk about point six, but then I had to go over all seven. But point six, I wrote, because of these things, we know, because there's a creator who's loving, that He would make a way. Make a way. Yeah. To reconcile us. To reconcile us. Now I said, if there's a creator who's all powerful and wise, who's all loving, who's personal, you can see that through creation, who's just, and I break that justice, you don't get to think it's logical to conclude that that creator would make a way for us to be reconciled to him? I think that's a logical thought to have. I think that's something that we can deduce from creation. I think that what kind of creator would make a creation, and if he's all loving, not provide a way for us to be reconciled to him? Would that be an all loving creator? So the creator that's all loving would of course make a way to bring us to himself. And how does he do that? Well, go to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. Now, how does the 19-year-old Mogadishu resident who's scraping for a bite of food escape the judgment of God? Well, point six is going to teach us that. Because we know point one to five are true. With or without verses, which creation teaches that. But point six, what's Psalms 19, verse 1? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth what? Knowledge. So what is creation teaching? Knowledge. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We know creation speaks knowledge. Can't get around it. It's talking to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's teaching knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of knowledge. So what's creation teaching? Knowledge. And what's the beginning of creation teaching? The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Isn't that fascinating? The knowledge that creation is teaching will start at the beginning, which is its goal is to teach you to fear the Lord. Fascinating. If you don't have the scriptures, and you're sitting there looking at the starry night, God knows you should learn the fear of the Lord because it's speaking to you day unto day, night unto night. It's fascinating. Now, I also know the law comes in and the law teaches you to fear the Lord. I also know the scriptures come in and the scriptures teach you to fear the Lord. But I also know creation does that. Because the night gives knowledge. And these things are clearly seen, and they're understood. And why does God have creation teach you the fear of the Lord? Go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Wow! Wow! The knowledge of God. That's your salvation. That's what Adam had, and he gave it up in the garden. And you know what? You can get it back. Through creation. You know it uses the word obtain. There's a way. So in order to find something, there's a way to find it. You want to find enough. The way that 19-year-old Mogadishu resident who's never heard the scriptures gets saved is by listening to the witness of creation. Because the creation is testifying to him. It's testifying there's a creator. It's testifying he's an all-powerful one. It's testifying he's loving and personal. It's testifying he's righteous. It's testifying you fall short. And it's testifying that if you look at these things, it's teaching you knowledge. And the beginning of that knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And when you have the fear of the Lord, you will find the knowledge of God and bring you back into a state that Adam had before he fell. That's awesome. That's wonderful. I mean, just logically thinking about this, you deduce that. Because or how else does the 19-year-old who's never heard the scriptures, how else can he be held without that there was a way for him to escape that judgment? If there's no way, then he's not without it. So he can stand before God and say, you know what, God? You never gave me a way. So when someone comes to your door and they try and, you know, snub their nose at you like they're, you know, well, what do you do about the, you know, Aboriginal Indian in Australia, the outback, who's never heard the scriptures? Well, you say, hey, you got 10 minutes? Because there's something talking to you 7 days a week that we can go over. And this is how it happened. Well, how wonderful it is, though, for you, when you find these Aboriginal Indians, to give them the gospel, though. To give them further light. To give them more witness and more testimony. And you teach them, and you preach to them, the gospel of Jesus Christ, now that he died on the cross for your sins. But for those that will never hear that message, there's a witness out there. And it's testifying to them. Psalms 145, verse 15. Verse 145, verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry, and he will save. Wow. Praise the Lord. Now I don't have to be worried when someone comes to my door and say, well, what about those people who never heard the gospel? What kind of God do you believe in that's going to damn them? I believe in a God that was wise enough to create a creation that will testify and bear witness to him. If all of creation points to the fact that there is a God, wouldn't you think he would make a way for us to be with him? Seriously. Wow. Go to John chapter 1, verse 19. John 1:19. John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man has had some light that gives one. That he can respond to, or that he can reject. This is how God, how can God write this verse if that weren't true? This is wonderful good news. Every man, that includes the Aboriginal Indian, or it includes the Mogadishu resident. There's light for him.
And if you've never heard of Jesus Christ, he's still glorified through creation. Awesome. Wonderful. Point seven, we went over last week.
Creation teaches that we must rely on the Creator
for everything.
That's logical.
When you get done today, I want you all to go out.
Don't touch the earth, don't touch your creation, but make some gold for yourself. Make it up yourself. But you can't use the ground, you can't use anything, any of the materials you see or feel. Just make it up, make your own universe.
And feed yourself. No creation teaches you can't. You need it yourself. You need to be, you need to rely on Him and His provision for you just for your food. You know, when I go to, you know, wherever, McDonald's, I get a hamburger. I thank the Lord that he gave the rain that grew the grass, or the cow beat the grass, and man can take the cow and kill him and make a hamburger out of it. Seriously, that's how it works. Creation teaches that. Creation teaches it. Now, there's some verses that prove that. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 24. God had made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is, this is Paul, he's talking to these heathen, he's going to bring them to God, and the way he's going to bring them through creation, God had made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, all things. And he hath made of one blood all things, and fermented dwell upon on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and about their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, that happily they might feel after him and find him. God made a way to find him. Though he be not far from every one of us. First, point this verse out to me. For in him live and move and have our beings. And everything about you. And look at this. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You know what Paul did there? Who did he quote? Poet. Did he tell you the name of the poet he quoted? Did he reference the book he got his information out of? No. He quotes a poet. And you know what? That poet becomes scripture. For we are all also his offspring. Is that scripture? Yes, it is. And what do you learn from that? He says, you guys should look around, for in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. That's the Trinity right there anyway. Back to that next week. We live, we move, and our being, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. But the point we're making is that even the poets that Paul quoted knew that we are his offspring. And it becomes scripture. You can learn that from the witness that creation is testifying. How wonderful. How wonderful. So these are the points. Are true. It can't be any other way. Which one are we going to take out? Which one are we going to say you don't agree with? Which one are we going to say we don't think is correct? You can't take out any of them. You're going to take out number seven. Oh, I don't believe that one. You're going to take out number six. Oh, there's no way. You're going to take out number four. It's just.
No, you can't. And we commanded this seven. I never said there were only seven truths. I just put seven on the board.
We could put more.
Because the creation testifies to him. Now, I'm not saying all this so we all go home and put our Bible on the shelf and go out and sit in the forest and look at the trees and say, I'm just going to listen to God. That's not what I'm saying. And don't take that. I'm not saying when you have the scriptures, you now take this book and you lay it aside because you can learn everything from creation. I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out some facts of what creation does. Now, I thank God he wrote it down for me, and I can read it, and I can learn from it. And that just gives more testimony to the fact of how wise God is, and how caring he is. He gives us multiplicity of witnesses. And when you, if all you have is this, God's going to judge you according to the knowledge, according to the light you hear. And if this is all you hear, he can still damn you if you reject this. But if the gospel comes into your hearing, then you will be held accountable to the gospel. So for me, to get saved, when I have come into contact with the preaching of the cross, it is the preaching of the cross that I will accept or reject. That's why God will be able to damn me or save me. It's based on the light that he gives, that you come into contact with. Now, when you come into contact with the scriptures and with the preaching of the cross, God expects you to accept that. But the testimonies work hand in hand. Just because there's the scripture, it doesn't negate the witness that creation gives. It's awesome. It's fascinating. Oh, and if you don't, go to 1 Corinthians 15. You know what Paul says? If you don't look to creation to understand some things of God, you know what he calls you? 1 Corinthians 15. These are some other things apart from creation. You want to ask God about the resurrection and how it happens? What's Paul's answer to you? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. 35, yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But how some men will say, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Oh, Paul, you know what he calls you? Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not wisdom, except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body, but that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body that hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. You know, Paul does? He points to creation. You ask God, how do you do the resurrection? How is this going to happen? Paul said, you're a fool. Because you're not looking at creation. Don't you know you have to die first and be planted like a seed? And every seed has its own fruit and glory? Creation is meant. Paul still uses creation as something we are to look to. How many times have we talked about the law of the harvest? Yeah. You know what that's based on? Creation. You plant a seed in the ground. We've all used this example. You take one piece of corn, you plant it in the ground, and you use that as sin, and it grows up and it produces a what? A fruitful yield of many more. It's the law of the harvest. All points to creation. He uses that. I mean, this, when he talks about the church, he looks at a house and he says, you got a foundation. Foundation. And he makes correlation. It's wonderful. It really is.
Really, what should end up happening is one. I go to Psalms 145. Or, let's see, we'll start on Psalms 150. Maybe any of these Psalms in the end. Well, this is 148. I mean, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye him, all ye stars of light. Praise ye him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor and stormy, fulfilling his words, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts and all cattle. You know what he said? Everything should praise God. Everything. Because we're all made by him. Everything. There's not one of us that should be sitting here who doesn't want to give God praise when you look at his creation. Because, dude, we're made by him. Chapter 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery in the heart. Praise him with the tremble of the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise God. Praise ye the Lord. That's what should happen. That's what creation is designed to do. Cause you to praise God. He gave you breath. He gave you life. You know it. It's in your heart. He wrote it there. You can't escape it. That's how all men in Romans chapter 1 can write, they are all without excuse. And if this weren't true, you'd have an excuse. We went to Job. When Job was questioning, And God shows up and speaks, no. Job chapter 38, we don't need to read them. Go home and read them. 38, 39, 40. What does God point to? Job didn't have the scriptures. God shows up to Job and he says, look at creation. Everything learns from me. You know why God wants to teach man to fear him? Because when you come to the understanding of fearing the Lord, you will find the knowledge of God. Which is what we've all lost today. How awesome. How awesome and wise is God to do that. Now don't take from this that I belittle the preaching of the cross. And don't take from this that I don't think you need to go out and be a testimony to your neighbor. Don't take from this, think that the scriptures aren't important. Don't take from this that you should just become a naturalist and go, you know, get a hut somewhere. No, that's not what I'm saying. We have further revelation. We have the light given to us in scriptures. So that's what you take with you. When I talk to my neighbor, I can start off by pointing to creation and say, hey, you're going to die one day. Creation teaches you that. Now let me tell you what you can do about that, how you can escape that death. God came down, became a man, and died on the cross for your sins. And when you put your faith in that, he promises he'll save you. And that's what that person has to believe that, because that's the life he has. Awesome. So I'm not saying we don't need this. I'm just saying this teaches that. I'm saying this, God teaches this anyway. And I'm saying there are invisible things of him in the creation of the world are clearly seen. And these are being understood by the things that are made. There will be no one you taught. You talk to me, you try to say, well, I don't believe God. You know what you call? A liar. We don't. I'm a liar.
because you know from this verse, they know there's a God. And not just a God, they know about Godhead. We were getting there last week. But you can call the atheist on your block a liar, because you know in his heart, God wrote some things, and that when they know when they sin, that they're violating God. Can't argue with that. So, everything God created points to Him. His creation. And His Word. So if someone asked you, how does a 19-year-old boy in Mogadishu get saved who's never heard of the preaching of the cross? Well, he has a witness that is testifying to him. That's how he finds out. And gets back that standing that Adam had before he fell. How wonderful it is. And we don't need to be afraid of questions like that. And be worried about those things. Because God has an answer. He's not all wise for nothing. He is to show it. That's what this is all about. Glorifying. That's all I meant to say. And I hope that clears it up. It should. We got a wonderful Savior. God on the cross for our sins to make all this possible. How awesome. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Lord, we just thank you for the witness and the testimony you give unto men so that no man can be without excuse. No one's going to wake up in hell and wonder how they got there. They know because they violated you. And they know you're a just God and there will be a penalty for their sin. So no one's going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, and claim an excuse. For you have written that they are without excuse. All mouths will become stopped in your presence there. For we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ who makes all things possible. For it's through him we have our life. It's through him we are saved. It's through him we have our being. What a wonderful, glorious Lord and Father we have in heaven. Let's all give praise to you, for we all made by your name. Amen.